judgment has set, the books have been opened. How shall we stand in that great day, when every thought and word and action, God the righteous judge, shall weigh? How shall we stand in that great day? How shall we stand in that great day? Shall we be found before Him wanting, or with our sins all washed away?
Welcome to the Escape for Thy Life radio broadcast. This is a presentation of the independent Thuzia Seventh-day Adventist Church, a revival of original Adventism and ancient Christianity. Our speaker is Brother Nyron Medina.
Good day. This is Brother Medina for Thuzia Seventh-day Adventist. And please let us start with a word of prayer. Gracious, loving Father, be with us right now as we enter into this presentation. Bless everyone and help them to learn these important lessons, at least to get satisfaction from your word with regards to crime and other realities. In Jesus' holy name we pray, with thanksgiving unto thee. Amen. So we want to continue our discussion on crime. Yes, my dear people. And since we started our discussion on crime, specifically dealing with murder one, or first-degree murder, a lot of things have happened that have brought to our consciousness the importance of understanding what is really going on, why we have a terrible state of affairs, not only in Trinidad and Tobago, but all over the world. The incidence of murder is rising in every country of the world. And God has given unto us certain means to deal with it. But you must remember also, there are plans instituted in the world to create a new world order. And those plans to create a new world order, part of it involves a conspirational demoralization of the population. From the point of view of the people, government is seen to be encouraging quite a lot of transgressions under the guise of rights and freedoms, so that people who really believe the scriptures or people of faith are being penalized because they refuse to accept certain things like sodomy, sodomite marriages, and other types of behavior. Since they refuse to accept those things, they're being penalized. Many of their businesses are being destroyed. They are being forced to continue doing things that they have rejected for many, many years ago, to the point that they have now been forced to cooperate with sodomite marriages, etc. Immorality is the code of the day, and morality is being crushed and destroyed. With this perception, you find more and more crime is happening in different parts of the earth, and especially in Western countries where these so-called evils are being justified as rights and freedoms, you find the incidence of crime is rising. And when we say crime, we mean murder. Murder one. Yes, my dear people. In the Bible, in Genesis chapter 9, verse 5 and verse 6, we are given this clear mandate from the voice of God himself. I quote, And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Now, why is God requiring it? Because they kill a human being. So God say, I would require your life. I would require blood because somebody have been murdered. And it continues in verse 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. Now who is saying this? God himself is saying this. God himself. And as God has made all of us, he must know why he would make a pronouncement like this. This is one of the most important pronouncements made just after the Great Flood. So that after the Great Flood, with this pronouncement, people would now understand very clearly that it is God's intention that the death penalty should exist for those who commit a certain type of murder. Yes, my dear people. And as a result of this not being carried out, people are getting more and more bold. The criminal is getting more and more bold to do his evil because he's not getting death anyhow, anyway, for his wrong. But God said it was a requirement that whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. And such a requirement as this helps the perception of other criminals that if they look to do the same thing, they must expect that kind of penalty to come upon them. But not just only that. For the psyche of the population, they too must understand that if somebody looks to harm them and they have the threat hanging over their heads, that they will get a terrible harm also from the state legally because they have done something illegal, then the population will have a kind of a peace with regards to these things. But already the Bible tells us that evil men and sinners will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But we are already being told here that God said the death penalty should be carried out. Yes, my dear people, if we go also to Exodus 21, and we look at verse 12 and verse 23, here is what we are told. Verse 12 and verse 23, I quote, he that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. Did you hear that? Shall be surely put to death. That's the point here. Surely he must die. That's what your Bible tell you. And who said this? Not Moses, God himself said it. And if God himself said it, in his wisdom and in his wise policies towards humanity, he knows that this is a great deterrent. He knows that this gives the population a sense of protection. This is why he said it. And if we go to verse 23, it says this, and if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. Did you see that? Life for life. That's God's plan. But if, for the sake of creating conspirational demoralization of the public, for the sake of creating a new world order, they have death penalties being abolished in many different countries, calling it cruel and unusual punishment, then those same people who are doing that are encouraging the incidence of crime. Yes, my dear people. They are encouraging Capital One murder. And why are they encouraging that? Because the more demoralization takes place, it is the more seizing power by the barrel of a gun is going to be justified to create the new world order. And so the incidence of crime that we are facing in the world today, especially in its manifestation of murder, is literally a fallout from the policies of the New World Order. And once you're dealing with policies of the New World Order, you're dealing with policies of the United Nations. Yes, my dear people. This is the reason why we are saying to you, if God's plan is followed, we will live in peace. We will live in security. We will live in happiness. But this is not happening today. Abolishing the death penalty is a very bad thing. But even in Trinidad and Tobago, while we still have the death penalty as the law, the governments of many countries that have it are not able to carry it out. Why? Because we are being told it's cruel and unusual punishment. And it is inhumane. That's what we are being told. When God said something else. And not just only that. Since they have abolished the death penalty in many countries, crime has risen. Yes, my dear people. And not just only that. The point about it is, Pratt and Morgan's ruling from the Privy Council have kept governments from practicing the death penalty. We are told that there are 7 years that must be given to a person of committed murder one, that they can have appeals to save their lives from the death penalty. Why would you even have that? But okay, let's assume that somebody may be innocent. We are then being told if the criminal stays in jail with 7 years of the consciousness that he's gonna die for his crime, that 7 years of that consciousness is cruel punishment, an inhumane punishment. As a result of that, after the 7 years, commute his penalty to life in prison. That's what we're being told. And so, by trickery, the Privy Council, that also is influenced by the New World Order thinking, has given to us rulings that has stopped the death penalty from being done. Yes, my dear people. And all this has caused the spiraling of the incidence of crime, especially in murder one. But the reason why we say crime, we mean even a person who commit manslaughter. That person, because they know that the penalty would not be severe, and because they know that it takes long for justice to take place, then what will they do? They will practice that too. And so with stealing and larceny and a whole host of other crimes. But what has happened here is that we are crying out at murder one. Yes, my dear people, that's what we are crying out at. Boys with guns walking all over the place are shooting people. And we are being told the guns are the problem, the guns are the problem. Look at how much guns the police have taken. And yet still, people still have guns to go and kill. The police must understand that even though you take so much guns away from the public, people will always get guns to do the shooting. And if they can't do it with the shooting, they'll do it with the knife or the cutlass, or they'll find a way to do it. But the point is that something more must be done to address the situation, and something unusual. Legislation must be drafted to deal with the Privy Council to get a wrong or to get away from this Pratt and Morgan ruling. Legislation must be drafted so that the presumption of innocence will not go too far that even sometimes video footage cannot be used. Sometimes a person is brought to court for a crime and a wrong paper may have been filed, or some things on the paper may be wrong, and just through that they throw the whole case. These things must stop. You cannot throw out a whole case because of some wrong papers filed. Send the lawyer to file the papers properly and then proceed with your case. But often they throw the case. All these are techniques to make the criminals get away, and these things have been implemented in countries like England and America to make colonies of these countries follow suit to still stop the death penalty from being practiced. Also, we look at the law enforcers in the country, the police service. We believe that they should be well paid. We believe that they should get proper support. They should get proper support. They should get great support. But alas, alas, a large amount of police in the service have no ethics or no morality when it comes to police behavior. They too have been encouraging the incidence of crime, especially murder. How so? How much times have it been brought to this speaker's attention of police planting weapons in people's hands? Planting weapons. There are incidents where a person may have maybe stolen a car. What does the police do? They plant a weapon in the hands of the person and try to get him on a gun charge. So the lawless man now sees the law enforcement officer acting lawless. What do you think you will encourage that lawless man to do? To act lawless? And then we have this crime watch in which this inspector is often always justifying police behavior that are bad. Often always doing it. When what they should do is that laws should be drafted to make policemen pay for things that they have been doing. Like, for instance, if a false arrest is made, then the state is sued. Why not sue the police that make the false arrest? All that will make them become more conscious that they are to do their jobs properly. What about police brutality? If the particular police that do the brutality can be sued and can be brought to court in such a way, and not just suing the state and getting money from the state, if you could get money from that police pocket, they will do their jobs better because they know the law applies to them, and not because they are police, they have autonomy to do certain wrong things. Yes, we know some criminals have put themselves in situation where the police will practice revenge. But do you know that if investigations of police complicity in murder while claiming they are getting rid of the criminal, these police should be prosecuted for that also? But often they themselves are able to tailor their reports to make themselves look innocent. And so the police complaint authority has no teeth to actually be able to bring them to justice. And so there's a breakdown of law and order in the criminal. There's a breakdown of law and order in many police. And this has caused things to be so terrible. Another nonsensical statement made by the police is, let the police do their job. A person make a comment on something, a comment which could even make you think to see how to help or to solve a crime. Please let the police do their jobs. As if your comment is going to stop them from doing their investigation. As if your comment makes them become incapable of doing their investigation. That's what investigating is all about. To find the truth and to bring to justice those who are guilty. This statement about let the police do their job, you're still doing your job whether somebody comment or not. The point is, do your job properly and that the comments will be better. And all this is the reason why we have this. And then we go to the courts. The courts have caused quite a lot of problems in affecting the sense of comfort upon people's minds with regard to criminality and with regard to the sense of justice one should have when crime has been done upon them. If we go to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, and we read verse 11, Here is what we are told. I quote, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." End of quote. Did you see that? You see, delayed justice often means no justice at all. You have people waiting sometimes 14 years to go to court just to deal with stealing a television. Look at how long. You have people getting delayed justice to the point of losing interest. Sometimes a case may warrant immediate attention from the courts, and the delay causes witnesses to be murdered because time has been granted for it. And therefore, the case cannot be brought to closure, and it takes even much more longer. Look at a murder that took place of a particular woman, and a lot of men were brought for the murder. When the police gave their evidence, they were so contradicting. There was so much ineptitude and unprofessionalism that those criminals are in a situation where they can get away. And when there are appeals to this case, they can get away over and over. Why is this so? They took too long to bring the case to court. Even some of the people that were dealing with the case died before it could happen because they took too long. And this is why the Bible is telling us that sentence against an evil matter must be done very quickly, or else people will be set in their heart to do evil, because they will say, well, they have too much case to solve, and they will never come upon our case in time, and time will pass where witnesses will forget their stories and so on, and will forget their accounts. So, you know what? We can continue our crime. God says that you must execute it quickly. But we are told the courts are overloaded. Well, this is the reason why you can divide the courts in such a way to deal with particular cases. You can have cases of importance being dealt with almost as soon as it happens and almost as soon as the evidence is gathered. And these can be special courts for this purpose. And this way, we can get justice swiftly, because these crimes are outrageous crimes. But no, you find there are too much ideas of, well, is it legal for us to do this? Or can the lawyer appeal against us doing this? Write laws to answer all of these things. Because a lot of these lawyers themselves are in part responsible for the incidence of crimes. Their fees are too high, and there's no genuine way of regulating their fees. They charge so much money. They're making a mint and a half out of crime. They're profiting from the crime. And all this has to be dealt with. Regulation of their fees should be done by a body. And that body should make it in such a way where the poor man can at least pay to face the courts. Many people have to depend upon the state to do it. And as a result of that, there's a delay in cases over and over. And just because sentence against a wrong is not speedily executed, people are set in their minds to do evil. Yes, my dear people. And this is what God tells us. This is what the Bible tells us. If you look at Deuteronomy 19, and we look at 16 to 21, here is another important point we need to take into consideration. Deuteronomy 19, and we look at 16 to 21. Here is what we are told. I quote, "If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before Yahweh, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition." Did you see that? Diligent inquisition. "And behold, if the witness be a false witness and had testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put the evil away from among you, and those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. And thine eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot." End of quote. Did you see that? So not only is God saying don't have pity on the criminal who have been found guilty, but he's also saying here, by the execution of the penalty, others will hear and fear and will not look to do those wrongs, and he will put away evil from among you. Notice the evil have been done with the criminal, but God wants the evil to stop in society. And he's saying to put the evil away from among you, bring the penalty upon the person. That's what he's saying. And he's saying don't even have pity upon them. And he's saying eye for eye, foot for foot, hand for hand, life for life. In other words, the amount they have cost to the person who have injustices have been done to, that person should be made to pay equivalent. Yes, my dear people. But what do we have here? We have a lot of penalty that does not suit the crime. And as a result of that, people do wrong and get away with it because the penalty for those wrong is not enough. Now we're going to have to talk more about this again. But call us at 625-0446. 625-0446 will give you this program plus others that went before. And remember this important thing. You need to change. Conversion is the best way to deal with crime. If a person is converted, they will live righteous and they will not do crime. So we are on television today at 10 a.m. on TV6. And so may you have a beautiful understanding of what we are showing you. Until we meet again, in Jesus' holy name, amen.
The judgment has set, the books have been opened. How shall we stand in that great day, when every thought and word and action God the righteous judge shall weigh? How shall we stand in that great day? How shall we stand in that great day? Shall we be found